And a good Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you for the next 4 hours. Julian Council behind the glass as the storm clouds come rolling in. Or I guess rain clouds. I don't know if it's storm. That's probably not the correct word. Looks like we're going to get, yet again, some more rain. Got a great show in store for you. We're going to hit a lot of things today. Talk some hockey, talk some football, some basketball. We're going to hit on all the topics and everything in between starting right now. Willie, how you doing?
I'm all right.
Good win last night.
Yeah. Good win. Tough win. Got it done.
All was right again in the world. Everybody's happy. Winning streak of two. No more concerns.
For now.
Because after Saturday night, it was, oh, no. But that's I think it's fun.
Isn't it a weird game, though? It's like I thought for the most part. Now, of course, any team that gets a 2-0 lead is going to play differently than the team that's behind 2-0. The team that's behind has got to be desperate, got to take some more chances, etc. It was so interesting, though, the two games where you walk out of there last night and the Red Wings are probably saying, hey, we played pretty well, man. We had a rough first period. Could have come back and won. Mm-hmm. Played two pretty good periods to end the game. If the game was 5 minutes longer, who knows? They could have tied it up. And the same was true in Nashville on Saturday, where the Red Wings walk out of there with the win, but the Predators were saying, hey, we played all right. You know, we did a little luck here, a little luck there. Could have been a different game. But you jump out to an early 2-0 lead, sometimes it's hard to come back. And so the season series probably ended up how it should have, based on how the two teams played. Each team gets a win.
So how was the new digs?
It's really nice. Man, it's nice.
It's red.
It's very red.
Very red.
It's very, very red.
In fact, very empty.
I was going to say, when there's nobody there, it looks even more red. What's going on? I thought it was Hockey Town, right? Hockey Town?
It is Hockey Town.
Yeah. Looked like there were people painted as seats.
They're not used to
looked a little lighter.
They're not used to rebuilding up there.
Okay, that is ridiculous. They went 25 years in a row going to the playoffs, and last year was the first time in 25 years. So let's extend that streak. 25 out of the last 26 years, they've been in the playoffs. It's that quick. They jump off that quick. And the conversation with Craig Custance yesterday said that they're not in rebuild. They're not going to bottom out. They're not going to do what Pittsburgh did or what Chicago did or Edmonton did to get Connor McDavid.
I don't think they're going to that length.
Edmonton did it for a long time. They kept getting number ones for a good while.
Yeah, they're still working on it.
Which I think, honestly, my opinion, is the wrong approach. I think you should. This team is going nowhere. They've got a lot of work to do. They've got pieces, but they need that star. They need that to get the star or stars. You have to bottom out. That's how Chicago did it. It's how Pittsburgh did it. How do you think they ended up with, you know, Crosby and Malkin and Fleury? Why? Because they had number one picks. Chicago, Taze and Kane, they had to bottom out.
Yep.
That's how you get those guys. So I think it's the wrong approach, but nonetheless, he painted the picture they're not going to bottom out.
That'd be a tough sell.
But they don't want to rebuild.
They just went through it in Toronto, and it's working.
Toronto's same deal.
And it was relatively painless once they decided to do it. But Toronto did what Detroit is doing for a number of years. And back then, before there was a salary cap, they would just throw money at problems. And then they got themselves at all kinds of salary cap issues. Detroit is your classic mediocre team right now. They're not bad. They have some good players.
But they're just
average. Not good enough to win. And, you know, Henrik Zetterberg is not getting any younger. They've got some other guys that are getting old. That's a really intriguing team because you probably saw the same tweets that I did. And Darren Drager saying, hey, the Predators are interested in a couple of these Red Wing guys. Elliot Friedman echoed it. He's got his 31 thoughts out there. He's got the same guys that are interesting. I don't know where this is going.
Guys have existing contracts. I mean, one's for, what, 3 years? Another one for next year. I mean, just don't.
Next year is not the problem. Next year they can work it in. They're fine doing that.
Too much. Too long. They're not going to take on a guy that's got that long left.
You're talking about Tatar.
Yeah, Tatar, who scored last night.
I was really surprised when I saw that from two different people. Now, because he is signed through age 29, so it's not like he's an older guy.
Mm-mm.
But he's signed for the next 4 years, and he's got a cap hit of $5.3 million. That's a little high. Now, if they did that, now, I think the Red Wings would tell you, or maybe just a neutral party, saying, let's look at Thomas Tatar. How good is he? Well, he's pretty good. Consistent 20-25 goal scorer, right? Those aren't easy to find.
No.
$5.3 million? I don't know. A little steep. Now.
A little steep, but no, that is
what
steep.
If you – okay, so Red Wings, you're rebuilding. And Ken Holland used the word rebuilding. Okay, Craig Custance.
It's weird said, because he would
Ken
not go
Holland,
there.
He said it yesterday after they traded Mrazek. And I think this is really important. They're saying they're rebuilding. So if you've got a contract, if you're David Poile, you go to them and you say, okay, that contract's not really what you like, $5.3 million for a very good player but not a great player. You need a little cap space. You want a little wiggle room. Okay. How about picking up half of the contract? Now he's a $2.6 million guy. I think the cap hit, if you do that, stays the same. Now, the question would be, can the Predators fit that cap hit in for the next 4 years? That would be a question. But if you get him for half the price now, maybe that makes more sense.
Yeah.
But still, David Poile told us, I'm going by what he said. This is not some inside scoop I have. But he said to us, we're interested in guys whose contracts expire this year or at the end of next year. Now, the guy that fits that profile is?
Nyquist.
Now, he's a guy that I would say is similar to Tatar. He's a year older, 27. But he's not a guy. Let's see. Nyquist is signed through next year. Actually, he's signed through 28. Yes, through 2019. $4.75 million cap hit. That's a little more palatable. Guy that has had a 27-goal season on his way to another 20-goal season, that's about what he is. He had an off year last year. But steady. Could he upgrade? Maybe. I'm not giving up the farm for him. But these are just guys. There was a lot of rumors yesterday. And, hey, it's no secret. David Poile was there at the game. Brian Poile was there. Paul Fenton was there. They're checking stuff out.
Mike Fisher was there. They invited everybody.
Detroit is a hub, right? There's a lot of people that gather in Detroit. There's all kinds of people there from all kinds of different teams checking people out. The Red Wings are getting attention because they are a team that needs to retool. If you want to call it a rebuild, you can. They need to retool. They've got to move some pieces around. They're not good enough right now.
Well, I think we know the picture of who's the buyers and who's the sellers. So, to me, there's a lot more buyers than sellers, which means there's going to be a good market for the sellers, and the price tag is going to go up. And I think it's interesting this week because I do think this week will play a factor in some teams' decision-making. As in, yeah, they were going to be active, but now they're starting to get a little maybe nervous. Like, let's say, for example, the Blues. You know, they look like, you know, 3 weeks ago, everything's fine. Nothing. Everything's fine. We're right in the thick of everything.
Oh, yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, today, it's like, wow, we're like dangerously close to the outside looking in. Forget top three. We're almost on the outside. So, do we need to make a move? Like, really need to? Like, yes, we were going to try to make a move, but if it wasn't right, we weren't going to do it. Or do now they say, you know what, we may just have to bite the bullet and just do it. I do wonder. There's going to be some of those teams that say, you know, we may have to just suck it up and overpay to make the move. It only takes one team to do that. And I think there's going to be teams that will do that. And to me, it's why I will hang in there with what I've been saying all along. In the end, Dave LaPoyle will talk. He will talk to a lot of people. He will kick tires till his toes hurt. And in the end, it's just not going to feel right, and they're not going to do anything.
I'm really, really curious. It's going to be fun to watch to see what they do, because you're right. The GM for the Blues, he came out a day or two ago and said, you know what, we're moving in the right direction. Not sure we're championship level. Don't want to trade our top prospects. We like what's coming up through the pipeline. But now, all of a sudden, you're right there. Ooh.
Now,
playoffs,
wait, not championship. Now you're saying, are we a playoff team?
Yeah.
It's one thing to be saying, can we win it all? I'm not sure we can win it all. But now today the conversation may be, are we good enough to get in?
And then you had – so then Brian Lawton, who we had on our show recently, mm-hmm. a couple weeks ago, he tweets out last night, hey, Blues are in a precarious spot. They're looking to shake it up. They're going to make a big trade. So it's totally the opposite of what the GM said. So we were on the plane last night. Mace and I were talking about this, about sometimes you just never know what a GM is doing when you see an interview, because the GM's interview echoed exactly what Jeremy Rutherford told us the last time the Blues were through, that, hey, they're not really going to be that aggressive. They don't want to give up too much for a piece in the short term. So, but you might be saying that in hopes that the price comes down for some of these guys that are out there. It's a give and take. And I do think sometimes that the media, especially guys like Elliot Friedman and Darren Drager and some of these national guys, Bob McKenzie, some of those guys are used to throw messages out there.
No question.
And that message may not exactly be what the team is actually thinking.
It's called an agenda.
It's an agenda.
Some people have an agenda, and they would like that put out there to maybe steer people certain ways, yeah. or steer people away.
I mean, for all we know, now you could say last night, if you were in Detroit and you were just covering the game and you saw David Poile, Brian Poile, and Paul Fenton, you could easily make up a story. Not make up a story. It's a fact. You could say, hey, Predators had all those guys.
Brass,
they were there.
They
were all there.
Yeah.
They must be watching Detroit closely. You know,
they must be interested in this guy. They must be close.
Right. And it very well could be that David Poile's just there with his guys to make it look like they're looking at Detroit when really they're talking to somebody else. I mean, that's very possible.
They may have pulled off a Philadelphia Eagles, a fake walkthrough. Maybe they were walking around Little Caesars Arena just so they could be seen and have people start whispering, and it was a fake walkthrough.
If you read Elliot Friedman's 31 Thoughts, he's always writing about, in those thoughts, some team who had several scouts watching this team. It's always speculation about that. It doesn't necessarily mean anything, but it is interesting, and it gets your wheels turning as a reader and as a fan. So these next few days, we'll see. I mean, Dallas is going to make a move. I heard Brent Peterson say with you, yeah. on the post-game show, I do think Dallas will be aggressive. He knows Jim Neal very well. I do think that's the type of team that is going to go for it. They feel pretty good about their team.
They've been coming on of late.
That'd be a tough first-round matchup for somebody. Tough second-round matchup.
I don't think you want to see Dallas as an 8 seed.
Dangerous.
Or a 7 seed. If you're a division winner, right? Because a division winner is going to have to play either the 7 or the 8 seed, depending on how you fared. And I don't think that's a team you want to see.
And let's say it's Dallas third in the Central, and you finish second in the Central.
But that's good. Then you have then you would want to see Dallas and Winnipeg beat each other up.
Well, but that means you got to win the Central.
And one of them's – well, yeah, but I've already told you that's going to happen.
Okay.
Back in early December, remember?
It's going to be a great race.
Remember?
Got some help last night. That was a big win. Jets losing at home to the Kings.
Hey, it was a great night for the Predators. They won. Winnipeg and St. Louis lose in regulation at home.
Yep.
Mike in Gallatin. Mike, what's up?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to – I know you've already spoken on this. I apologize. But another option that's out there, instead of going out and spending all of our prospects and stuff, is signing the kid from the Olympics and the KHL, Tolvanen. I just want to know your thoughts on that, Willie, and guys, just if that's a possibility to go that route. He's on fire. I know he's 18. It's a little hard to, you know, see what we're going to get from that end. But, man, if this kid's hot and he's ready to go, I'd rather roll the dice, see what happens with him, than go out there and spend all of our prospects' top picks on what could be out of date, not what they used to be, veteran players that would just, you know, give us a shot. So, again, I'll just, it's just see what y'all thought.
Well, certainly we've talked enough about Ellie Tolvanen. By the way, I didn't even see what happened this morning, Finland and Canada.
Yeah,
I didn't even see. I know it was at 6 o'clock this morning.
Yeah,
I failed to look.
I got to check myself.
We'll have to check. I did get home last night and watch U.S., Czech Republic.
Whoops. We're out.
Jeez. Lost in a shootout. Five-round shootout. By the way, I like the five-round shootout. I like that.
Do you like the rule where the same guy can keep going back?
Well, after five rounds. I like that rule. I would not be opposed if the NHL adapted five rounds, five different shooters, and then after the fifth round, if it's tied, you can use the same guy as much as you want. I like five over three. By the way, I could not believe they got shut out on all five shooters. It only took one goal to win it in the shootout. So you hate that, Czech Republic, watching Martin Erat out there.
Martin Erat. How about that?
How crazy is that?
Skate around for Czech Republic.
And Jonathan Blum for the Predators. I mean, that's a blast from the past right there.
He wasn't very visible, I didn't think. In fact, a couple guys that were visible are guys, you know, speaking of Ellie Tolvanen, who were probably going to be visible for their teams maybe down the stretch. The one kid for Anaheim, what was it, Terry? Is that right?
Yes, I think so.
He is property of Anaheim. The other kid for Boston. Don't be surprised if they're not used in their stretch runs. But that is a heavy consideration. We've talked about him a ton. And look, that is in the room. It's in play. Because if it gets too crazy and the price tag keeps going up, David Poile is just going to pull the ripcord and be like, I'm out. Not going to do it. Not jumping into the fray. And he knows he's got his team already assembled. He's already made technically two trades, Kyle Turris and the addition of Mike Fisher. And he's got a young kid, young 18-year-old, that when his KHL season is done, playoffs are over, he could be available if need be.
Okay, I think I've got this right. Germany has upset Sweden, which is a big upset.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, all of the players, I'm hesitant to even ask sometimes. You know, a lot of times, hey, rooting for your home country? Well, of course they're rooting for their home country, but it kind of brings in that feeling of, why aren't we over there? You know, I know a lot of them still
wish they were there. Yeah.
But I think Canada has defeated Finland earlier this morning, too. So those are the games that just got done within the last, I guess, hour or two. I don't know how Tolvanen did this morning. I do know this. Here is one theory that people see with Tolvanen. Because I keep asking around, okay, what would it be like if they threw him in there? Forget about making a trade, trading draft picks, prospects, whatever, and just bring Tolvanen in. Maybe he's your X factor that could spark you in a playoff run, perhaps. They said he is an elite shooter. He's a game-changing kind of shooter. If you read, Jeremy Gover from our group had a really good interview with he talked to some people who see him on a regular basis. Jari Kurri, a Hall of Fame player who's the general manager of his team in the KHL from Finland, said he's going to be a great player. He's got an elite shot, and that translates anywhere. That's what I hear from a lot of different people. A great shooter, a goal-scoring kind of guy who's a sniper, you could plug him in, and that will translate. The question would be, can he pick up the system? Can he be a defender? Does he know what it takes to defend?
Can he be
in
trusted?
This league? Right, you got to be trusted. And he's very, very young.
I have an update. He did not score. You know why?
Finland did not score.
Yes.
Finland was shut out.
They didn't score. They lost 1-0.
1-0. Wow.
Yeah. So Canada edges out Finland 1-0.
It's still a great tournament for Tolvanen. So now he's got two games left in his KHL season, and then they play in the playoffs. So that's the other thing is you don't know when he could come over. So that clouds your that's going to be well down the road from when you have to make decisions on the day of the trade deadline. That's what happened with Radulov a few years ago. Remember? In 2012, the trade deadline hit. They didn't know about Radulov for sure. They thought maybe. But they made the deal for Andre Kostitsyn. And then Radulov comes back, and now you got Kostitsyn and Radulov, which could have worked, but as we know, it didn't mix very well.
Did you really have to go down there?
Yeah, sorry.
Had to bring that up?
Sorry. But these are all things that I'm sure that is being discussed in all the planning.
Well, the good news is there will not be any playoff games in Glendale.
There will not.
In the Phoenix area.
Not this season. You might have to play against Radulov.
Might have to play against Mike Smith. Right?
Maybe.
Right?
Yeah.
We'll come back with Dan Rosen, NHL.com. We'll keep this discussion going with him next on 102.5 The Game. Don't forget your Honky Tonk hat trick, brought to you by Bud Light, is back tomorrow night at Honky Tonk Central prior to the Predators-Sharks game at Bridgestone Arena. While you're there, register for a pair of tickets to a game, passes the Bud Light Zone. You may win a VIP hockey experience. Be sure to stop by Tootsie's, Rippies, and Honky Tonk Central before the Predators' weekday home games for specials on Bud Light. Just so you know, the VIP hockey experience is a pair of tickets to an upcoming Predators home game, dinner for two before the game, and a ride on the Zamboni during intermission. Let's bring in our man Dan Rosen, NHL.com. Dan, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Well, we were just talking in the last segment about the trading deadline, which is Monday. And last night the Predators were in Detroit and all the brass were up there. And I told Willie maybe they were just kind of trying to throw everything off by walking around and let everybody see them so people can start whispering that the Predators are honing in on some Detroit Red Wings players. How crazy or not? How do you think? What's your temperature for how Monday's going to play out or everything leading up to Monday?
Well, that's what it is. It's everything leading up to Monday. You hope the teams wait and Monday becomes a pretty good show because, that's what you want. You want it to be a big day. I think it's a seller's market. I mean, a guy like Nick Holden gets traded to the Boston Bruins. He's maybe their seventh defenseman, and they give up a third-round pick and a prospect in Rob O'Gara to the New York Rangers. Michael Kempney gets traded out of Chicago, a defenseman, goes to Washington for a third-round draft pick. I mean, I think that indicates, you're talking about depth defensemen who might not crack the lineup when they get to their new teams, and they're giving up third-round picks, which is not a first or second, but it's still a decent draft pick to get a guy like that. So I think it's a seller's market, and I do think that there are good players out there that teams are looking at. I mean, you guys know it all too well about Rick Nash. You know, obviously Nashville being involved with Rick Nash, that's big. Vander Kane, Thomas Vanek, some rentals. Ottawa's got a bunch of guys with contracts still with time left on their deals. It's a good market for the sellers, but the buyers are going to buy them up, I think. And I think we're going to see some pretty good movement. We've already seen a couple things happen. And I think we're going to see some, I think this time around it's going to be a pretty exciting lead up to the deadline. That's just the gauge that I'm getting.
Yep, I'm with you because I think there's a lot of teams that are buyers right now and they're looking to go for it. And I am interested to know, Dan, how this week plays out. You know, when you see a St. Louis team, if we would ask this question 2-3 weeks ago, I think the Blues felt really good where they were sitting. They were top three in the Central. They were right there in the thick of things with Nashville and Winnipeg. And here of late, they've slid down, and now they're dangerously close to be on the outside looking in. And then you've got a team like Dallas who's done just the opposite. They've been basically on the outside looking in or hanging around that wild card spot. Now they've jumped into the top three of the Central. How do you think this week kind of will change things for some front offices knowing that? Maybe for a team like St. Louis that's sliding down that may say, we may have to do whatever it takes now to do something to add a piece to kind of get everybody jump-started again.
Well, yeah. You know what's going to be interesting? It's going to be interesting to see because it's what do those teams believe in themselves? What do they believe about their team? What do those general managers believe about those teams? I saw something that Doug Armstrong from the Blues said the other day. He goes, I'm not sure we're one player away. What does that mean? Does that mean he doesn't think they're close, or does that mean he thinks their team right now should be good enough? You know, like take that for however it may be. You mentioned the Blues and the Stars are third in the Central. Well, They have the same amount of points. It's just that St. Louis has played two more games than Dallas. And Minnesota's right there, one behind them. Anaheim is on the outside. They got the same amount of points as Minnesota, but they've played two more games. Calgary's still sniffing around, too. Colorado is sniffing around. It's a lot of teams right in the mix there. And it's almost like, you know, a race to see. You almost want it to be a race to see who could get that missing piece, that ingredient that helps them put them over the top. And that is part of what makes it a seller's market. There are a lot of buyers out there, but there are good pieces out there that are trying to be sold. And, you know, it could drive up the price on a Rick Nash or a Vander Kane if multiple teams think that he's the guy that can help them get it out. And that's great for the Rangers, maybe not so great for the team that's getting them, but you got to take a chance. You got to go for it. It's open. Let me put it this way. It's wide open. If Nashville were to play Minnesota right now if Nashville were to play St. Louis right now, which is exactly how it would line up if the playoffs started today. Now, not everybody's played the same amount of games, so it's unfair, but if Nashville were to play St. Louis right now, I'd pick Nashville to win the series, but I'm not wiping St. Louis off the board and saying they got no chance. Same deal with Vegas playing Minnesota. That would be what it'd be right now. I think you'd have people out there saying, hey, I think Minnesota can win that series because it's that close. So that's what makes it a seller's market. There's a number of players out there that can be bought, but, you know, if there's a lot of buyers, you know, price gets driven up a little bit.
Dan Rosen on the line with us, NHL.com. So, as you can imagine, Elli Tolvanen, the first-round pick by the Predators, the 18-year-old young man, has been tearing up in the KHL, has been tearing it up in the Olympics. How much of what we've been watching over in South Korea, Dan, do you think can maybe also change the mind of some front offices, knowing that they maybe have some young players? I saw the young man, unfortunately, U.S., dropping their game in the shootout to Czech Republic, but a young man that can help maybe Anaheim down the stretch or the Bruins. How much does that factor in?
Well, I don't know, because I think they would have known that already. I don't think the Olympics, I don't think the Olympic tournament makes or breaks a guy's chance of getting in this year, if he's even going to get in this year. Like a Ryan Donato with Boston, he had a great Olympics for Team USA. Troy Terry for Anaheim, had a great Olympics for Team USA. I think those teams would have, know what they have in those players, and if those players want to leave college early at the end of this season, there probably is a place for them. So I also don't think general managers go off of the basis of, well, that guy who's never played in the NHL before, he might be the difference maker for my team to win the Stanley Cup. That's not how they think. So it's nice stories. They're nice stories, and maybe those guys can come in and make an impact if they sign at the end of their collegiate seasons. But you can't rely on that if you believe you've got a team that can go the distance. I think if you believe you have a team that can go the distance, you got to go out into this market and try to find that piece that's going to help that's going to help solidify you or bolster you or stabilize your team a little bit. Maybe not put you over the top, but stabilize it and give you that depth that you need to go on the run. I mean, you know how important depth is in the playoffs. You know, it's so key. And that's why the Bruins, in fact, go out and get a guy like Nick Holden, pay a third-round pick and a prospect, because he's a left-side defenseman and they need depth at that position. And they think they can win it this year.
Sharks will be here on Thursday. What can you tell us about San Jose? They've been playing well of late.
Really well of late, and they're doing it without Joe Thornton, which is which is remarkable considering what they've been able to do. Joe Pavelski has picked up his game; he's finally scoring some goals. I saw a stat today where they've got 21 goals in their last six games. They're all at even strength. Every one of their goals in the last six games, 21 of them, so that's more than three games at even strength. They got 61 goals at even strength in their last 24 games. Their power play hasn't been great, but they're scoring, and they're finding ways to score at even strength. And that I think is what it can make a team dangerous, because if they can score at even strength, and that's what's making the Sharks dangerous, if they can score at even strength and they pot a power play goal every once in a while, they're scoring enough goals to beat you. In the NHL, you need three or four to win on most nights. So they have been playing really, really well of late, 5-1 in their last six games. Dangerous team right now.
We're talking to Dan Rosen from NHL.com. And, Dan, you just said it. We get excited at this time of the year. We hope that you have these great stories. So let me ask you, like, realistically, what are the chances that some teams just decide to just blow it up, that they're trying to retool? Like, for example, Eric Karlsson up in Ottawa. What realistically are the chances that he would get moved?
Well, I think the chances of Eric Karlsson getting moved before the deadline are low. I think it's realistic to consider that he would get moved by the draft or in the offseason. If he indicates to Ottawa that he's not interested right now in re-signing, and they're making this push to retool their core and save some money at the same time, I think they, you know, unfortunately, as good as he is, they're probably going to have to trade him. They can't go into the next season with him not giving them any assurance that he's going to re-sign. I mean, the Islanders have done that with John Tavares, and it's been a story that's plagued the Islanders all year long. What's John Tavares going to do? And to Tavares' credit, he hasn't made it a story. He's just been as good as advertised. But I think there's a good chance Karlsson can get traded in the offseason if things don't go the way the Senators might want in a negotiation. Team's blowing it up. I mean, certainly Ottawa's got other pieces they could trade. Derek Brassard has got one more year on his deal. He could be had, certainly. I wouldn't trade Mike Hoffman if I were them. I think he's a really good player, and he could be a part of the answer there, but they might. And the New York Rangers have pretty much waved the white flag, you know, in terms of, you know, moving players and retooling their roster to get younger. They've lost four in a row. You know, they've fallen back. They're 6 points back now, but I don't think it's very realistic for them to consider themselves as in the playoff mix at this point, even though they're six back. There's other teams ahead of them, and they're probably they're going to trade Rick Nash. They're going to trade Michael Grabner. You know, everybody, that's all indications are there. So Detroit's got some guys to trade. Buffalo certainly has some guys to trade. You know, you can go, you know, Arizona may. Arizona's interesting because they've got some guys, but I don't think they want to trade them, like a Nicholas Hjalmarsson or an Antti Raanta, who could be had and could be valuable, but I don't think they want to trade them. Edmonton's got some guys, certainly Vancouver. So there are not as many sellers as there are buyers, but there's good players out there.
I'm really curious about the Islanders and the Tavares situation, because I'm sure there's some teams out there going, you know what, if we position ourselves, we could make a run at one of the best players in the game, but we got to have a lot of salary cap space set aside.
Yeah.
So how does that affect what they might do at the trade deadline here?
Well, if teams think that they can be in the market for a John Tavares, if they think he's going to get to the market, then they're not going to look to add salary for next season at the deadline. They don't mind taking on a remainder of a deal for a guy who could be a rental this year, but they can't. They have to look at their salary cap situation and where their team lies. You know, for instance, I'm trying to think, like a team like the Montreal Canadiens, who are not in the playoff mix right now. They have cap space. Carey Price's number goes up, but they could lose Thomas Plekanec in the offseason, so that wipes it off. So maybe they'd have some space right there to consider themselves, okay, let's stand pat. Maybe we can subtract here. We're not going to the playoffs, and we can make a run at Tavares. You know, that's how teams have to be thinking right now. If they realistically think that John Tavares is going to go to the market on July 1st, for the Islanders, though, look, I mean, get them done as soon as possible, right? Get this thing. If Tavares wants to re-sign there, and all indications that he has said is he wants to, I think it's incumbent on the Islanders to push the envelope here and say, let's get this done right now. And money's not an option, because they're going to give him whatever he wants. It's just, let's get this done. And it hasn't happened yet.
And so it sounds very familiar, Dan, as you know. I mean, we saw Steven Stamkos, everything worked out in Tampa Bay, but we went through the Ryan Suter thing here in Nashville.
Absolutely.
And so, don't you think they've got to have some pangs of fear there if that it's not done?
I would hope so. I would hope so. If they don't, they're not doing it the right way. You know, you got to have some pangs of fear. What I would do right now, if I were the Islanders, if I was Garceau, I would do whatever I can to beef up my defense before the trade deadline, to bolster my team for a playoff, to get into the playoffs. That to me shows, if I'm John Tavares, I see what ownership and management is trying to do. They're trying to put a winner on the ice, trying to build it, trying to get us into the playoffs, and not just hanging them idly by and watching us give up 40 or 50 shots a game because our defense isn't good enough. I would make a push if I were the Islanders. They're in a completely different situation than, say, the Rangers. The Rangers have been one of the better playoff teams of late. They never got over the hump and won the Cup, but now they're looking at needing a retool. The Islanders have won one playoff round with John Tavares in his entire career there, and now they face the prospect of losing him for nothing.
Boy, from afar, it does – you do wonder, you know, privately, or people yeah. around John Tavares. Are they saying, you know what, you might ought to take a look at what else is out there. You know, I hope – I always love the loyalty. I love to see a guy stay and stick it out and work through and maybe see the fruits on the other side. It's probably really satisfying that way. But, man, that's an interesting one. I bet you some GMs are probably saying, you know what, if he hits the market, we're ready to make our pitch.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this. They have to be, and there's that window before July 1st for them to look at, to talk to players and quote-unquote not negotiate, but really negotiate. You know, and there's that window before July 1st, and if Tavares hits that window without a contract from the Islanders, I mean, he then gets to see what else is out there. He then can see the interest from teams. He gets wined and dined. And you know what? Maybe that loyalty to the Islanders, it fades a little bit in that time. It didn't for Steven Stamkos. So that's the example of positivity if you're an Islander fan, is Steven Stamkos went through that whole thing. He talked to a few other teams, but he didn't want to leave Tampa. You know, he loved it in Tampa, didn't want to leave, said it. And maybe that's the same thing with Tavares. We'll see. But you got to have the fear now if he's, you know, he's not receptive. The other part about this, you know, if you're the Islanders, I think they could, maybe they did privately, go to Tavares and say, give us an indication, please, because it's really going to, whatever you do impacts everything we do. And maybe they did that already. They've been very, they're very private about what they do. But if they haven't, if they haven't gone to Tavares and asked for an indication of what's going on, then I think they're missing the boat because they got to have an idea.
Dan, we just want to take one moment of appreciation here. Some people tweeted this out in light of the Eric Goodbranson 4 years, or what was it, 3 years, $12 million, $4 million per year?
$4 million per year, yeah.
And the perspective here was that's what Roman Josi makes.
Yeah.
Matias Ekholm makes 3.75 and Ryan Ellis makes 2.5. So the going rate for defensemen is high, but the reason, one of the big reasons the Predators are where they are is they have three great defensemen that don't make
four.
What a lot of – well, yeah, I'm not even counting PK. Obviously, he's getting
right.
more of the market value, right, of
sure.
a star defenseman.
Yeah.
But it's amazing the cap space that still remains because of some long-term deals that they made years ago.
And that is why they need to win the Stanley Cup in the next 2 years. Right? That is
dead on.
That is why that is why it is incumbent on David Poile to do whatever he possibly can. And he has done that. Give him full marks. Give him credit. He is doing whatever he possibly can to get this team into the best possible roster, to put him in the best possible position to win the Stanley Cup. Because when Ryan Ellis' contract is up, that cap hit's going to go way up. Okay. Same with Roman Josi. Same with Matias Ekholm. Got to get it done while your players are still relatively cheap.
Dan, really appreciate the visit. Thanks for doing this, and we'll certainly talk to you down the road here real soon.
You got it, guys.
All right, that is Dan Rosen, NHL.com. We'll come back and wrap up the first hour. But first, I want to talk to you about weight loss management. All of us had to deal with this as adults, right? It's an ever-increasing field that's full of empty promises and a bunch of yo-yo dieting, dangerous diet supplements. We've all probably either been aware of that or flirted with some of that stuff. And you know what? It's just time at Cool Springs MD to go there and let them provide you a safe and effective weight loss management solution. That's what you need. It's what I need. And you can talk to Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, who is the board-certified physician, his wife, Daphne Lodge, the registered nurse. They've been helping folks in this area here in Middle Tennessee become healthier and happier for over 20 years. Every individual is different. They know that. And they know that their professional staff at Cool Springs MD is passionate about giving you the one-on-one attention that you deserve. Go take a tour of their state-of-the-art facility and meet their on-site trainers and counselors. Learn more about weight loss management. Find out your options and how to achieve a healthy lifestyle by calling Cool Springs MD. Make an appointment at 615-660-6900. That's 660-6900. Or visit their website for everything. CoolSpringsMD.com. This is what you do. All right, let's talk about, because we're going to move on. Will Brinson's going to join us in the second hour, CBS Sports senior NFL writer. We're going to get into the draft and free agency, all kinds of stuff with him. Jason Anderson, we're going to head up to Louisville at noon. We'll talk about this, the news that came out yesterday, in a bit, Willie, because I did try to have fun and crack a joke and said, well, Willie went there to the Georgia Dome. Does it count? Does that memory count? Does he have to get rid of that memory? You were at that Final Four. You were at that national championship game.
I was at the game.
I know. So do you have to delete that memory for you? Do you have to get rid of that?
That
did
is
it happen?
So bizarre.
Did it really happen? If everything's been taken down and they are no longer the champs, did your trip to the Georgia Dome in Atlanta for that Final Four and that national championship game, did it really happen as we sit here today?
It's the only one I've ever been to. And the question is not me. The question is, what do you do if you're Michigan?
Nothing.
Nothing, right?
You don't get one.
They don't give you a banner. They don't make you the winner.
Well, I understand that, but how do you, like, you asked the question, how does it feel? Do you erase it? How do you feel if you're Michigan?
I did see yesterday that Greg Marshall, the Wichita State head coach, and John Beilein kind of joked on Twitter about, hey, maybe we should schedule a game, and then we'll decide who the national championship game is, because Wichita lost to Louisville, and Michigan lost to Louisville. So those two play, duke it out, we'll find out who the real national champion is of 2013. Play the game on an aircraft carrier.
It's a great game.
That is the new trend, right?
Yeah.
In November, play a game on an aircraft carrier. I don't know. So we'll talk to Jason Anderson. We've talked to him over the years, does a great job up there at ESPN 680. But what is the fallout today? What are they saying today? What is the mood? I mean, they wiped away four seasons yesterday. They just wiped them away. Although they keep their losses, they wiped away four seasons of wins, took down two Final Fours and a national championship, which has never happened, by the way. It's never happened where they've taken away a title. The team that won it said, you are not the national champ. Isn't that crazy?
It is odd. Now, I'll say this. When they first started doing this, vacating wins here, there, wherever, a lot of people kind of, the first reaction was, that's not really a punishment. Everybody knows they won. But now that it's been done for, I don't know, 10, 15 years, the occasion will do this. This is the top one, right? Mm-hmm. National championship. Nobody's ever taken a national championship. Although,
banners have come down, but not national championship. Banners.
USC football, is that a vacated title?
We're talking
title?
About basketball. Separate.
First time basketball.
Yep, first time in basketball.
But there's always the discussion on shows like ours of, is that really a punishment? I think it's sort of sunk in. It means something, right? It is tainted. It would be the definition of tainted, right?
I guess if you're being technical, yes. But really, when you get down to it, does it really mean anything? Well, ask Jason that. Like, how does a fan base feel? I mean, you don't wipe away what happened. Like, the NCAA can wipe it away, or the school can wipe it away officially. But you don't really wipe away anything with the fan base. Like for example, there were thousands upon thousands of fans that did exactly what you did at the Georgia Dome. They were in attendance. They were there. They have those memories.
We're not getting our money back.
You're not getting your money back, and you have those memories. Whatever happened on that trip, you have those memories. In fact, you took Mahoney, right?
Yeah.
So you can't wipe that away. So who does it really affect? I guess – once again, technically, it just affects the school when you make it official and you look at the record books and you see that there's an asterisk next to Louisville, right? I guess that's it.
This was discussed a lot with the baseball records. Mark McGwire hitting 70 and then Barry Bonds hitting 73 and then Barry Bonds passing Hank Aaron. They did not make that notation in the baseball record books. But it's clearly tainted. This, though, had to be marked down for it to be tainted, right? Because it wasn't – I guess it was sort of common. It's known what happened, but as the years go by and you're looking in the record books, the memory of what was going on back then, they had the escort service in the dorms, everything. That that would slip the mind of a lot of people if you didn't vacate the championship. But what does that really mean? Now, let's say you're looking, whatever the version of an almanac would be in 2030. Like, anybody get the sports almanac anymore? I still have some old ones on my bookshelf.
Maybe in 2018, the actual book. But 2030, I'm not sure. I don't think so.
So now you'll be Googling or whatever, and you'll click on vacated. Why? You know, your grandchildren will say, why did Louisville have to vacate the championship in 2013?
Earmuffs.
Well, let me tell you.
You'll say, what championship? It never happened.
Well, let me tell you about...
Didn't play a game?
Just fiction.
Grandpa, you mean they didn't play a game in 2013?
No, they never played a game.
What is a prostitute? Grandpa, can you explain? What does this mean?
I'll tell you when you're older.
Check better back yet, in 2040. I'll
show you. I don't know. I don't know how... I don't know what the real punishment here. There's going to be a fallout. Obviously, Louisville's program is going to be down for a while. They're going to have to recover. It's going to take time. And who knows how long it'll be before they ever get back to this level, if they do.
Yeah, that's the thing. The immediate fallout is whether they'll get recruits, because, you know, the Brian Bowen thing is still going to happen. The FBI, will see how that plays out. And then we're not sure what the monetary amount is that they have to pay back. Some people are saying $600,000. People in Louisville are saying. Dan Dockich, ESPN Outside the Lines, are reporting $15 million. That's a lot of money to hand back. Like, I would hate to be Louisville and have to cut that check. So that's probably the immediate thing. It's taking down a banner. I mean, we know what happened. We saw it.
The Titans made a signing yesterday. We're going to talk about that on the other side to kick off the second hour. And I'm going to bring up something that Steve Lehman and I talked about yesterday. I want to get your thoughts. See if you've thought about this. Do you think this would be a good move or a bad move for the Titans? We'll do that in hour number two. That's next on 102.5 The Game.